Good morning, and welcome to Simply Space. It's Friday, April 12th. On today's show, the Space Force plans what could be the first military exercise in orbit, and Rocco's Little Chicago is moving to a bigger space on Broadway. Plus, Muon Space banks on space as a service. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Space. We start off with an exciting development in space defense. The U.S. Space Force has announced a first-of-its-kind mission called Victus Haze to demonstrate how the military might counter threats in space. The mission will involve two companies, Rocket Lab and True Anomaly, and their spacecraft. For more on this, we're joined now by our correspondent. So what exactly will this Victus Haze mission entail?
This is a really interesting demonstration, David. Essentially, True Anomaly will launch a satellite first that will pose as a potential adversary, like something from China or Russia. Then Rocket Lab will have another satellite on standby, ready to launch whenever the Space Force gives the order. That second satellite will go up and inspect True Anomaly's spacecraft, gathering information on its capabilities and intent.
And why is the Space Force looking to demonstrate this kind of capability?
Well, as more and more nations are putting assets into space, the U.S. wants to be prepared for any potential threats. If an adversary satellite starts behaving suspiciously, maneuvering close to a U.S. spacecraft, for example, the Space Force wants to have the ability to quickly respond. That could mean launching a satellite to do reconnaissance or even to deter the adversary from taking further action.
How does this Victus Haze mission fit into the Space Force's broader efforts?
This is part of what's called Tactically Responsive Space, or TACRS. The idea is to dramatically compress the timelines for building, launching, and operating satellites. In the past, this process could take years. But with TACRS, the Space Force wants to be able to respond to threats in a matter of weeks, days, or even hours. They've already demonstrated some of these rapid capabilities in previous missions.
And what's the timeline for Victus Haze?
According to the Space Force, True Anomaly and Rocket Lab will deliver their spacecraft no later than the fall of 2025. And to keep the demonstration realistic, the two launches will be timed to occur on short notice. Ultimately, this mission is about preparing the Space Force to conduct rapid operations in response to any on-orbit aggression from adversaries.
Thanks for the insights on that important space capability. Shifting gears now from the final frontier to a local favorite, a popular Tucson pizza restaurant is expanding to a new location on the city's iconic Sunshine Mile stretch of Broadway. Rocco's Little Chicago has been serving up deep dish pies since 1998 out of a former donut shop, but will soon be moving to a larger space just a block away. For more on this story, we turn to our Simply Space correspondent. What can you tell us about Rocco's expansion plans?
Rocco's Little Chicago has been a Tucson institution for 25 years, known for its Chicago-style deep dish pizza. But owner Rocco DiGrazia says they've outgrown their current space, which wasn't originally designed to be a restaurant. The new location at the Sol Block development, where Solot Plaza used to be, will allow them to double their seating capacity, kitchen size, and bar area. This will enable Rocco's to start offering catering services and accommodate more customers during peak times when they've previously had to turn people away.
The Sol Block project is a collaboration between the Rio Nuevo Board and Larson Baker Commercial Real Estate to revitalize the Sunshine Mile area. What kind of impact could an established local business like Rocco's have on those efforts?
Landing Rocco's is seen as a major win for the Sol Block development and the broader Sunshine Mile corridor. Edmund Marquez, vice chairman of the Rio Nuevo Board, called it a home run and said they want some of Tucson's best local businesses involved in making Broadway a destination again, following a recent expansion project. Having an anchor tenant like Rocco's Little Chicago, which already has a loyal following, could help attract other businesses to the area and bring more foot traffic to support them.
When does Rocco's expect to open in the new space, and what other types of businesses are planned for the Sol Block?
The first phase of the Sol Block project is slated to open later this year, though an exact timeline for Rocco's relocation hasn't been announced. In addition to restaurants like Rocco's, the development has plans for retail shops, bars, and entertainment venues. The goal is to create a well-rounded mix of tenants and offerings to reestablish this portion of Broadway as a vibrant commercial district and gathering place for the community.
It will be exciting to see how the Sunshine Mile evolves in the coming years with projects like Soul Block in the works. Thank you for that update. Shifting our focus to the space industry, a Silicon Valley startup called Muon Space is making waves. They've secured over $60 million in contracts to design, build, and operate remote sensing satellites for a variety of customers. The company plans to launch 10 satellites in the next few years, ranging in size from 150 to 500 kilograms. James, what can you tell us about Muon Space and their unique approach to the satellite business?
Muon Space is taking a novel approach they call space as a service. Instead of just building satellites, they offer end-to-end services for customers who need space-based data but may not have the expertise to develop the spacecraft and infrastructure themselves. Muon Space has developed an integrated hardware and software platform called Muon Halo. A key part of their process is creating a high-fidelity digital twin of each customer's satellite system. This digital replica then serves as the foundation for all the system's engineering, integration, and on-orbit optimization throughout the mission lifecycle. By providing this holistic, mission-oriented product, Muon Space is enabling a new class of commercial space missions that may not have been feasible before. They handle everything from initial planning to satellite operations.
That's a compelling value proposition. Do we know anything about who Muon Space is working with? What types of customers are interested in this space as a service model?
Muon Space has not publicly named their customers, preferring to let the clients announce the partnerships themselves if they choose. However, we do know they have contracts with several U.S. military and intelligence organizations. The U.S. Air Force and Space Force have both hired Muon Space to provide Earth observation data. The National Reconnaissance Office, which operates the nation's spy satellites, is also planning to purchase data from Muon Space's future climate monitoring constellation. In addition to government agencies, Muon Space says its customer base includes commercial firms and nonprofit organizations. The 10 satellites currently under contract are for a mix of these sectors.
Very interesting. Beyond these space as a service offerings, what else is in the works for Muon Space? I understand they have their own satellite constellation in development.
That's right. The company is building its own fleet of satellites focused on climate monitoring. They've already launched two demonstration satellites. The first, launched last June, was a technology demonstrator for the Muon Halo platform. Then earlier this month, they launched a prototype weather satellite developed for the Air Force and the Defense Innovation Unit. Muon Space appears well capitalized to pursue these ambitions. The company has raised $35 million in venture funding, including a $25 million Series A round last year. With a skilled workforce drawn from other cutting-edge space projects like the Environmental Defense Fund's MethaneSat, Muon Space seems poised to make a big impact in the industry. Their turnkey space as a service model is attracting a lot of interest from organizations that see the value of space-based data but need a partner to help them obtain it.
Thanks for that report, James. Muon Space is definitely a company to watch in the rapidly evolving space sector. Their innovative approach could open up many new possibilities for how we utilize satellites and space-based data. Speaking of developments in the space industry, the U.S. Space Force is tapping commercial companies, Rocket Lab and True Anomaly, to rapidly deliver and operate satellites capable of close proximity maneuvers with other spacecraft in orbit. The contracts, totaling over $60 million, are part of the military's push for tactically responsive space capabilities. For more, we're joined by our correspondent. So what exactly will Rocket Lab and True Anomaly be doing under these contracts?
Under the Victus Hayes mission, Rocket Lab and True Anomaly will each design and build a satellite that can rendezvous with other spacecraft in orbit at close range. They'll also set up the command and control centers needed to operate the satellites. Rocket Lab's $32 million contract includes launching their satellite on the company's own Electron rocket. True Anomaly is partnering with an unnamed commercial launch provider for its $30 million piece of the mission, and the company says it will also invest $30 million of its own private capital.
What's the timeline for delivering these satellites, and how will the companies have to respond once they're called into action?
The target for spacecraft delivery is fall 2025, but the real test comes after that. The companies will have to keep the satellites in a hot standby mode, essentially ready to launch whenever the Department of Defense gives the green light. Once in orbit, Rocket Lab and True Anomaly will need to rapidly commission their satellites and prepare them to conduct close proximity maneuvers with each other, simulating a real rendezvous with an adversary spacecraft. The exact timelines haven't been disclosed, but Rocket Lab says the mission will demonstrate their ability to respond under operationally realistic conditions.
How do these new contracts compare to previous tactically responsive space missions the military has conducted with commercial partners?
The Victus-Haze mission has some similarities to contracts awarded to Firefly and Millennium Space in 2022. In that case, called Victus-Nox, Millennium delivered a satellite for launch by Firefly. The companies had to integrate the payload and ready the rocket in less than 58 hours, and then Firefly had just 24 hours to get it launched. While we don't know the exact timelines yet for Victus-Haze, the new mission includes some additional challenges, like having the two satellites maneuver in close proximity to each other on orbit.
What's the bigger picture here in terms of the Space Force leveraging commercial innovation for national security space capabilities?
The Space Force sees a major opportunity to harness the rapid innovation happening in the commercial space industry to counter threats from China, which military leaders have called America's pacing threat in space. As Colonel Brian McLean, a program executive officer at Space Systems Command, put it, the United States has the most innovative space industry in the world. Victus-Haze will demonstrate, under operationally realistic conditions, our ability to respond to irresponsible behavior on orbit. The idea is to be able to call upon commercial satellites to respond quickly and flexibly to potential acts of aggression in space.
Thanks for the report on the U.S. military's latest space contracts. Interesting developments, indeed. Well, that wraps up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Space. We'll see you back here tomorrow.